All right, good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to be here. So my topic today is the relationships between housing status and HIV sector risk behaviors among people in substance use disorder treatment. So first of all, I have no relationships to disclose. And this is a brief overview of the topics I would like to cover today. Okay, so a little bit background of this is substance abuse and sexual risk behaviors among vulnerable populations remain a significant public health issues as risk factors for HIV and AIDS. There is an estimated that 20.3 million of the adults, which translated to 8.5% of the adults in the U.S., had a past year substance use disorder. And in addition, approximately 9.4% of the adults have been reporting illicit drug use in the past month, in 2013. High-risky sexual behaviors continue to account for the majority of new HIV infections. And the And substance users remain at especially high risks for contracting HIV through both injection and the injection drug use and sexual risk behaviors. And in the United States, the current rate for the homeless in the general population is estimated to be 20 persons per 10,000 people in 2012, with an estimation about 70% experienced alcohol or other drug abuse problems. The estimated population of poor housing homes doubled up at 7.4 million. There is an increase about 10% compared to 2001. And recent studies have consistently showed that the homeless and unstable housing are associated with the higher incidence of alcohol, drug use, poor health outcomes, and sexual risk behavior. So our motivation of this study is that there's few inquiries have focused on examining housing status within the patients from substance use programs. And all relationship between drug use and sexual risk behaviors among clients of substance use programs. And although substance abuse is both a precipitating factor and consequence of the homeless, but the combination of the two and their association with housing status has received minimal attention. And there are a few previous studies has examined the particular types of drug use or particular types of sexual risk behaviors with housing status for the substance users. So, in the present study, we sought to examine the role of housing status to predict particular drug use and sexual risk behaviors among substance users from the substance abuse treatment programs. There are three specific research aims. First one is, does the prevalence of alcohol, drug use, or sexual risk behaviors varied by the housing status among people in substance use programs? The second one is, are those risk behaviors independently associated with the housing status? And we also hypothesized that the drug use would mediate the pathways from housing status to sexual risk behaviors. So in the hypothesis models, we kind testing each of the particular drug use to if they're mediate the pathway to predict different types of sexual risk behaviors in these samples. So the study reported here used the baseline data from Stadium 32, which is a randomized controlled trials for HIV rapid testing and counseling. With the parent study aim is to evaluate the more effective HIV testing strategies to increase receipt of the HIV test results and to decrease HIV sexual risk behaviors. So we used a baseline data only, so it's a cross-sectional study design. So this study, including 12 geographically diverse programs, including outpatient, psychosocial, intensive outpatient, OP treatment, and residential programs. The inclusion criteria for participants, including greater than 18 years old, reporting negative or unknown HIV status in the last year, had not been tested or received results for HIV testing within the last 12 months, and be able and willing to provide informed consent. So this is just the 12 participating sites in the U.S. So the ACARSIS has been used at baseline to obtain the self-reported information, for including demographics. And for housing status, we define into four categories, including stably housed, which defined as those people living in a house, apartment, or flat, and the unstably housed, which people living in lovers, sexual partners' house, apartment, or flat, someone else, or rented room, and homeless, of those living in a car, bus, truck, or other vehicles, abandoned buildings, etc., and for those in jail or treatment. And we have four measures for the drug use. So the problematic drinking was defined as the greater than 14 standard drinks for men and greater than 7 standard drinks for women per week, which is a consistent measure for the NIAAA. For the problematic drug use, we use the DUST-10 score, which is a drug abuse screening test. And we define when the score greater than 6 is problematic drug use. For the injection drug use histories, we define into three categories, including injection drug use, never injection drug use, injection drug use in the last 6 months, or not in the last 6 months. And we also ask the participants whether or not they have used or injected the following drugs. As for the sexual risk behaviors, information were also collected in a 6 month time frame, including asking the information for their protections, if they are having condoms or condom use sexual risk behaviors, if they have multiple partners, and the size of the sex, vaginal or anal, and the partner status, if they're having condom sex with non-primary partners or primary partners, and if the sex was used within 2 hours of using alcohol drugs, and for the HIV status of their partners. So here in our study, we included 6 measures for this sexual risk behaviors, all documented into whether you have this or not. In terms of the statistical analysis, we used the chi-square and ANOVA test for describing the prevalence and for the sexual risk behaviors and drug use. And the multiple logistic regressions has been used for testing the associations between housing status and the risk behaviors. The path analysis for mediation effects of the drug use has been also used. So this sample, including 1,281 participants, predominantly are males and whites. There are about 60% were stably housed, and 32 were unstably housed. About 5.5% were homeless, and 3.6% were in jail treatment. And the mean age was 41.5 years, 36.8, 43.6, and 41 years old, respectively, for this housing status. And we could see that the unstable house is tend to be younger in this data. And they're predominantly poor income, with annual income less than $10,000 per year. And the education, about 65% were finished high school but no college. They were predominantly have never used injection drug before. Where the SDV housing shows as around 56.4%, and the other three categories shows as around 48%. We're looking at the prevalence, the PDE indicating the problematic drinking, and PDU is the problematic drug use, and ADU is the any drug use. We could see that it seems like problematic drinking, it seems like the first three categories have a higher sort of greater than jail or treatment, and for any drug use, it seems like also the first three tends to be higher. And we also find that the variations showed for any drug use, club drug use, cocaine, opiates, and the marijuana, where all this shows like their unstably housed shows a higher prevalence. As for the sexual risk behaviors, we find the variations except for anal sex. So all others it also shows that the SWB house shows as a higher prevalence to involving those sexual risk behaviors. In the multiple logistic regressions, after adjusted for social demographics, we found that the SWB house were more likely to involve in problematic drug use, report any drug use, and particularly for cocaine, opiates, and marijuana. And also, they tend to more likely to involve in those four different types of sexual risk behaviors. As for the homeless, they're more likely to involve in other drug use, but less likely to involve in condomless vaginal sex acts or condomless sex acts with substance use. And jail, the participant in jail or treatment shows less likely to report problematic drinking. In terms of the indirect associations, we found that the unstably housed were indirectly related to increased risk of having several particular sexual risk behaviors during different types of drug use, including cocaine, opiates, and marijuana. For example, cocaine and marijuana seems to mediate all these four sexual risk behaviors, and opiates mediate the condomless sex with substance use. So the results from the present study were mixed among unstably housed and homeless drug users. Our results show a high prevalence of substance use and sexual risk behaviors among unstably housed, but not for the homeless or people in jail treatment. The prevalence of problematic drug use and cocaine use, opiates, and marijuana sexual risk behaviors including having multiple partners, commonly sex with non-primary partners, and the HIV anal self-status partners were found to be significantly higher among unstably housed than those in stably housed in our sample. And it's probable that those individuals, in contrast to those who are homeless or in jail treatment, have some resources, including social support or financial support from partners or friends that enable them to engage in drug use or sex risk behaviors. And contrary to what we expect, the results indicate that homeless people homeless and people in jail or treatment were less likely to access drug use or perform risky sex behaviors. And the homeless were less likely to have condomless vaginal sex, condomless sex with the substance use, and those who were in jail or treatment also showed decreased risk in engaging in problematic drinking, any drug use, and club drug use. And however, we found that the odds of the other drug use were higher in those homeless, which is 2.31 times as high among homeless compared to stably housed. Perhaps they substitute to other drugs because of limited resources or low social economic status. And in addition, though non-significant, the higher problematic drug use scores were reported by homeless and the people in jail treatment. So it's also probable that being homeless or jail or being in jail treatment reduced the opportunity for their drug use and sex, but they still desire for those risky behaviors. So to sum up, further study is needed to clarify those issues, and more research is warranted to examine the mixed patterns for risk factors among different types of housing status. And future research should also explore the longitudinal patterns of dynamic change of housing and reasons of poor housing. And I would like to acknowledge my research writers, Dr. Pfister, Dr. Match, and Dr. Gooden, and also my colleagues, Rui, Lisa, and Tiffany. And also I would like to give special thanks to the study participants and the funding agency, National Institute of Drug Abuse, Clinical Trial Network. Thank you.